B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Tzadik Dalet. We're going to start 11 lines from the top of the Omud. Well, remember when we learned Daf Tzadik Gimel Omud Beis in the Mishnah, there was a discussion what's called Derech Rechoika, a faraway place or faraway distance or distant enough that a person that's found in that place on Erev Pesach, presumably at Chatzos, then he is too far away for, and the Torah does not expect him to actually come into the Beis HaMikdash or to go out of his way or to force himself to be able to be in the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Korban Pesach on time, and he's exempt from Korban Pesach. And yet he can bring the Pesach Sheni. And the Mishnah brought a machlekes. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah held that in Derech Rechoika means that typical walking distance in the half a day between Chatzos Hayom and Shkiyas HaChama, if he's further than that distance when at Chatzos, which is the time, the first time according to the Torah, you're allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach, that's called Derech Rechoika. It's Min Hamoidim Ulechutz. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah held that even if you're just outside the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, you're already called, you're on the derech, you're still on the journey, you haven't yet arrived, and therefore even that, even though it's just a step away from the Beis HaMikdash, you're considered a derech rechoika. And Ula, when he tried to explain Rabbi Akiva, when he tried to explain why Rabbi Akiva says min hamoidim liYerushalayim, and that's a distance of 15 mil, and then Ula, he made the calculation based on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that a person can walk in a day, he can walk 10 parasa, which is 40 mil, of which 5 of them are walked between Alois and Netz, 5 are walked between Shkia and Tzeis HaKichovim, between Netz and Shkia you've got 30 mil, and half of which are till Chatzos, half of which are after Chatzos. So between Chatzos and Shkia, the time of Shechting the Korban Pesach, a person can walk 15 mil. The distance of 15 mil from Yerushalayim is the place called Modi'im. And that was the Gemara before. And then the Gemara brought another proof later that 5 mil is the distance that is walked between Alois and Netz, or between Shkia and Tzeis HaKichovim, from the fact that it's explicit in the Pasuk that the Malachim, when they told Lot they have to leave Sodom and head towards Tzoyar, that he left Sodom at Alois HaShachar, he arrived in Tzoyar at Netzach Hamo, and Rav Chanina said that he measured the place between Sodom and Tzoyar, and it was 5 mil. That's what we need for today's Gemara. Now, before delving into the next Gemara, which is going to be most of the next daf, I'm going to have to humbly admit, together with many other Magidei Shiur, that we don't really understand much of what's going on here, and I can only speak for myself. I don't think I understand anything of what's really going on from here till the end of the sugya, and we're just going to read the Gemara, try and make a basic translation, and not get stuck on it, but these are ideas which other sources have to be learnt in order to have a good grasp on them. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava said as follows, Shita alfi parasa hava alma. The distance that the sun travels from Netzach Hamo till Shkiyasach Hamo, going from one side of the world to the next, is 6,000 parasa. That's the distance it travels. Shita alfi parasa hava alma. Vasumcha derakia. And the thickness of the sky, of the atmosphere, which the sun has to penetrate between Alois HaShachar and Netz HaChamo, and between Shkiyas HaChamo and Tzeis HaKichovim, is Alfa Parasa, is another 1,000 Parasa. Chod Gemara, one of those two statements was a tradition. V'chod Svara, and the other one was something which he worked out, was a calculation that Rava made. Savar lo ki hod omer Rabbi Bar Barchona omer Rabbi Yochanan. He held what Rabbi Yochanan said, and we saw this already on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. When Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kama mahalich odom beinuni? How much can an average person walk on an average day, beyoyim, in a day from Alois HaShachar until Tzeis HaKichovim, 10 parasois, 10 parasa, which is 40 mil. Every parasois is 4 mil." And then the truth is, we'll see later, that Rabbi Yochanan's statement ended here. And Rava explained and understood that Me'alois HaShachar v'ad HaNetzach Hamo, if we were to split up these 10 parasa these 40 mil, which Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about from Alois HaShachar until Tzeisak Yechovim, hey milin, 5 mil a person can walk between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Hamo. Mishkia Sechamo at Tzeisak Yechovim, 5 milin. The same applies between Shkia and Tzeisak Yechovim, that a person can walk another 5 mil. Nimtza, so if you work it out, there's 40 mil altogether, of which 5 are done between Alois and Netz, 5 between Shkia and Tzeisak Yechovim, and there's 30 in the middle, which means that relative to the amount a person can walk between Netz Achamo and Shkia Achamo, which is 30 mil, he walks 5 mil between Alois and Netz, or between Shkia and Tzeisak Yechovim. And that distance is a sixth of the amount that he walks between Netz and Shkia. Echod Mishisho Bayoim. So Rava made the same calculation, that if, based on what the tradition that he had, that the sun goes every day from Netz Achamo to Shkia Achamo is 6,000 parasa, so make a calculation based on his understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's a sixth. I mean, it's a sixth of the time between Netz and Shkia is what it goes between Alois and Netz, or between Shkia and Tzeisak Yechovim. So that must be Sumcha Derekia is Alpha Parasi is 1,000, is a sixth of that distance. Now the Gemara is going to ask a number of questions against Rava. Meisvei, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Braisa says, that the depth, that means the thickness of the rokia, the sky, the atmosphere, which the sun penetrates between Alois and Netz, or between Shkia and Tzeisak Yechovim, is a tenth of the day. Teda, kama mahalach adam beinani bayoim, how much does a person walk in a day between Alois HaShachar and Tzeisak Yechovim? Eser parasois, the same as what we saw before from Rabbi Yochanan. Umealeis HaShachar ad Netzach Hamo arba'as milin. In contrary to what Rava said before, that it's 5 mil between Alois and Shkia. It says here that between Alois and Netz, here the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Umealeis HaShachar ad Netzach Hamo is arba'as milin, is only 4 mil. Mishkia Sechamo at Tzeisak Yechovim, arba'as milin, not like Rava said before that it's 5. Nimtzeis, oivye shel rokia, echod me'asoro bayoim. So what seems from there, that the amount that a person walks between Alois and Netz is a tenth of what he walks between Alois and Tzeisak Yechovim. And what's the big question here? Rashi seems to explain that the main part of the question is, how much does a person walk between Netz Achamo and Shkia Achamo? According to what Rava said before, a person walks 30 mil. According to what we see here explicitly in the Braisa, it's 32 mil. And there's also, they happen to be arguing whether a person walks 4 mil between Alois and Netz, or whether he walks 5 mil between Alois and Netz. Tiyuvta de Rava, it's a refutation against Rava. And also Tiyuvta de Ula, the Ula that we saw before in the Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, who said the same thing to explain Reb Akiva in the Mishnah, he's also been refuted. Tiyuvta. Leimet have a Tiyuvta de Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it's also a Tiyuvta against Rabbi Yochanan, because the Gemara now assumes, or the way the Gemara read what the Rava said was that kama mahalich adam beinani bayoim yud parasois, and the breakup of that me'alois hashachar v'tzeisak yechov me'atzeisak chamo chamisha milin mishkias hachamo atzeisak yechov chamisha milin, then the Gemara still thinks that it was actually Rabbi Yochanan who said both those statements, in which case it's a refutation against Rabbi Yochanan as well. Omar l'chono, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, ano biyamamuhu da'amri, I, Rabbi Yochanan, when I said kama mahalich adam beinani bayoim, adam beinani bayoim yud parasois, that's all Rabbi Yochanan said, and that conforms with what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing, kama mahalich adam beinani bayoim eser parasois. Rabbonon, it was just Rava or Ula who they explained the breakup of of what Rabbi Yochanan had said. Rabbanon hu dekato, they made the mistake, the kachoshvan, because they took into account the kadmo v'chasheicha. Because Ula and Rava, they saw that people walk before nets 5 mil, and people walk after shkia, they walk 5 mil. And they took it for granted that it's the 5 mil between alois and nets. And really it was a mistake, because those people that had reached 5 mil distance when it came to nets, they started actually before alois ha-shachar, the kadmo, the chasheicha. And the people that walked 5 mil after shkia, they actually continued walking after tzeisak yichovim. And that was the mistake. And in real truth, a person can only walk 4 mil between alois and nets, and between shkia and tzeisak yichovim. Could it be now that we also have a refutation against Rav Chanina? Rav Chanina, the pasuk says that Lot went from Sodom to Tzoyar between alois and nets. And Rav Chanina says that I saw that distance was 5 mil. We just now said that you cannot walk 5 mil, a normal pace. You only walk 4 mil. Says the Gemara Loi, it's not a refutation. There it says the Malachim, they rushed him. They said, quickly go. Since he walked much quicker than an average pace, therefore he could manage 5 mil in a time when normally a person only walks 4 mil. Continues the Gemara with another question, another refutation against Rava. Rava said that from side to side of the world was 6,000 parasa, 24,000 mil. We're going to refute that from yet another brisa. Continues the Gemara, Tor Shema, we're going to now refute Rava. Rava said before that Shitta Alpha Parasa Hava Alma, that from side to side of the world is 6,000 parasa, that's 24,000 mil. We're going to refute that from a brisa. Mitzrayim hoyo arba meois parasa al arba meois parasa. Mitzrayim was 400 parasa by 400 parasa. Umitzrayim echod mishishim bekush. The area, the square area of Mitzrayim was 160,000 parasa, and Mitzrayim was a 60th of the size of Kush, which means that Kush was 9,600,000 square parasa. The Kush echod mishishim ba'olam. And Kush was just a 60th of the area of the world, which means that the world is 576 million square parasa. And assuming that the world is squarish type of size, that would mean that from side to side it's 24,000 parasa by 24,000 parasa. 24,000 is way larger than 6,000. And then the brisa carries on, but the refutation is actually from here, from what we just said now. But the brisa continues, V'olam echod mishishim began. We know from the psukim in Parashas Bereishis, there's a concept, we often call it Gan Eden, but Gan and Eden is actually two things. And so the world is a 60th of Gan, and the Gan is echod mishishim be'eden, ve'eden echod mishishim be'gehenem. The Mepharshim discuss why should Gehenem be so much bigger than Gan Eden. Nimtza kol ha'olam kuloi. So if you make this calculation, the entire world is just kekisui kedera, which literally means the lid of a pot, but it means something very, very minimal relative to the size of Gehenem. But you see from this price that the world is 576 million square parasa, which is 24,000 by 24,000 square parasa, and that is way bigger than what Rava said. And indeed, the Gemara says, Tiyufta, it's another refutation against Rava. Continues the Gemara, Toshima, the Tana de Be'elyo. Either this is a Tana named Elyo, or this is actually Elyo Anovi who gave it over to Rav Onon, as recorded in Ksubas Daf Kuvav. It's a machlekes in the Mefarshim that Rav Nosson Oimer, Kol Hayishuv Kuloi. The Yishuv is the civilization, is the part of the world which is civilized, which is inhabited. There's the rest of the world, there's mountains and rivers and lakes and places which are not civilized. But the civilized part of the world, Tachas Koichov Echod Yishuv, sits under a single star. How do we know that, Teda? Shehari Odom Noisun Einoi B'Koichov Echod. Because a person who could be on one side of civilization and he could look up and he could see that there's a specific star above his head. Hoylech L'Mizrach, he goes all the way to the east of civilization, Oymed Kenegdo, and that star is still above his head. La'arba ruchos ha'olam, he could go in any direction of civilization, and the north, south, east, or west, and Oymed Kenegdo, and this star will still be above his head. So it must be that star is at least as large as the whole entire civilized part of the world. Michlal, the kola yishuv kuloi tachas koichav echod yishuv. And so what do we see from there? Since we know that the civilized part, the part of the world which is civilized and lived in, is at least 1,000 parasa. Rashi says is even more than 1,000 parasa. So it must mean that the width of a star, the size of a star, is at least 1,000 parasa across. Now look up and see how many stars do you see? There are many more than 6 stars out there. There are so many stars, and each one is at least 1,000 parasa across, so it must be that the world is much more than 6,000 parasa. And Rashi explains that we assume that the rest of the world, that means the civilized part of the world, is more than 1,000 parasa, but all the other many thousand parasas, we assume, is mountains and seas and lakes and rivers and places that are not civilized, but it's all part of the world. So the world is much, much bigger than 6,000 parasa. So the Gemara concludes from that, Tiyuvta, this is another refutation against Rava. Continues the Gemara, Toshima. Eglo betzofoin, this is a Braisa. The Braisa says that in the constellations, the Eglo, the calf, which is a number of stars which are grouped together that form a shape similar to a calf, betzofoin, that constellation is always seen in the north. Anywhere you go in the world, you're going to see that in the north. Va'akrov, the constellation of Scorpion, Bedorim, is always seen in the south. V'chol ha'yishuv kulay, since the entire civilized part of the world always sees Eglo in the north and Akrov in the south, it must be that the entire civilization is someplace between Eino Yeshuv Elo Bein Eglo LaAkrov, is someplace between Eglo and Akrov, and obviously there are many other stars in between them, but that is where the civilization is positioned. And more than that, V'chol ha'yishuv kuloi, the entire yishuv, the entire civilized part of the world, Einoi hava elo sho'achas bayim. We know that the sun travels 12 hours a day. And the Gemara is now going to, the Braisa says, She'ein chamo nechneses liyishuv elo sho'achas bayim. When is the sun actually over the civilized part of the world, which means over our heads, a time where there's almost no shadow, not to the east and not to the west? It's only 1 hour a day. Teda, I'll prove that to you. Shebechomish chamo b'mizrach. At the beginning of the fifth hour of the day, the sun is still on the east. Ubesheva, the seventh hour of the day, chamo b'mayriv. The sun is already in the west. Chetzi sheish v'chetzi sheva, halfway into the sixth hour, until halfway into the seventh hour, which means half an hour before midday, until half an hour after midday, chamo imedes b'roish kol odom. The sun is exactly on top of our heads. And this is true for the entire civilization. That means the entire area where people live, and the Gemara assumes that they all experience midday at the same time, the sun is crossing over civilization just 1 hour of its 12-hour journey every day. So there's at least 11 times that distance, which is not civilization, which is mountains, rivers, seas, etc. So that means the world must be at least 12,000 parasa, assuming that civilization is just one parasa, and we know civilization is much more than a parasa, so there's much, much, much more than just 6,000 parasa that Robert spoke about. Tziyufta, and the Gemara says this is indeed another refutation against Rava. Continues the Gemara, Tosh, Ma d'omer b'yechonon ben Zakkai. Ma tshuva hashivosoi baskoi lo'isoi rosha. There was a heavenly voice that came out responding to Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha. B'shosha Omar, at the time when Nebuchadnezzar claimed, E'ele, I will raise up al-bomasei of, on the top of a cloud, Adam el-elyoin, I'll be likened to the elyoin, to higherness, to greatness. He felt that it was like below his dignity to stay and live in this world. He was going to live up in the sky someplace. And this was a very haughty thing to say. And what was the response? Yotza Baskel, a heavenly voice, called out, Va'omra, and said, Rosha ben Rosha, you Rosha, the son of a Rosha, ben Benoi, the descendant of Shel Nimrod Rosha, of Nimrod the Rosha, Shehimrid, in the time of the Deir HaPlaga, where he caused the entire world, as Kol HaOlam Kulo, to rebel against Hashem. Olai, b'malchusai, with his reign, he caused the entire world to rebel against Hashem. He said, let's build a tower, let's wage a war with Hashem, as the Psukim in Sefer Bereishis tell us. And this is what the Baskel said to Nebuchadnezzar. And the Baskel continued and said, Kamosh noisov shel Adam, how many years does a person live? Shivim shon, on average of 70 years. Vim begvuroi, so if he gets to strength, Shmoinim shon, he'll live 80 years. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yumeshon oseinu bohem, Shivim shon of im begvuroi, Shmoinim shon. So you're not going to, you know, you'll live 70 years, 80 years, maybe a bit more, but that you're not going to get much farther than 80. Now let's work it out. You want to go and live up there in the sky someplace. Let's work it out. Min ha'aretz ad l'rakia, we know there are seven rakiim. We could call them skies, or I don't know how to translate them into English, but the Gemara teaches us in Chagiga there are seven rakiim. And just the distance between the earth and the first rakia is mahalei chamesh mis shona. You'd have to walk 500 years to reach there. Va'oivyo shel rakia, the thickness of that, to penetrate that rakia, the first rakia, the one closest to the world, mahalei chamesh mis shona, that's another 500 years. Ubein rakia la rakia, the distance between the first rakia and the second rakia, is another mahalei chamesh mis shona, another 500 years. V'chein bein kol rakia or rakia. And so too, from one rakia to the next, the distance between each one is 500 years. But you, Nebuchadnezzar, the Pasuk says, Ach el sha'ol turod, I'm going to lower you to the abyss, to the sha'ol, to the gehenim, el yarkas eboir, to the depths of the pit. And the Gemara in Chagiga teaches us that the size of the world, the distance, the area, the distance from one side of the world to the other is the same as the distance between the world and the first rakia. And here it says it's chamesh mi'os shana, it will take 500 years. We know that an average person walks on an average day 10 parasol. Work out how much is 500 years worth of 10 parasol per day. It's much, much more than 6,000 parasol. And this is another refutation against Rava Tiuvta. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Chachme Yisrael Oimim, some of the Chachomim of Klal Yisrael, they claimed Galgal Kavua, the wheel. There's a wheel in which the mazolis seem to be sitting. I think it's called the zodiac wheel. That wheel is fixed. Umazolis and the constellations choizrin, even though the wheel itself is fixed. But the mazolis themselves, they move a little bit. As the sun reaches a particular mazel, then that mazel shifts a little bit and, so to speak, helps the sun move forward. But the wheel itself is fixed. The Chachomim of the Goyim, they would say, Galgal Choizer Umazolis Kvuim. The constellations are actually fixed in this wheel, and it's the wheel actually moves. Omer Rebbe, Rebbe says, Tshuva LeDivrem. Rebbe says, I can disprove what they say. Because if the wheel would move, then the constellations, the mazolis we see in the north, at some point we would see them in the south, because the wheel is moving. If you say the wheel is fixed and just the mazolis are shifting a little bit, that's fine. But if the wheel is actually moving on an axis, then what's in the north at one point would be at the south another point. And that never happens. Me'olam lo motzinu, we never find eglah, that the calf, bedorim, v'akrov b'tzofin. And the scorpion is in the tzofin. Maskevlar of Acha Bayakiv, Rav Acha Bayakiv seems to refute this proof of Rebbe. He says, Vadilma, it could be that the wheel does move, but it could be, from Rashi it seems that he's suggesting that there's two wheels. There's one wheel which is holding the mazolis, which indeed is fixed. There's another wheel which is where the sun is in, and that wheel could actually be rotating. And then it's similar, Kabaitzino de Rechayo, like the blade of a mill, Inami, or similar to Tzkatzinoira de Dasha, like a hinge of a door, where if you have two things that are in motion, one round the other, it doesn't matter if you're moving it doesn't matter if you're moving the door on the hinge or if the door is still and you're moving the hinge on the door. It comes to the same. Motion is relative. Or if you have two things going round each other, then you've got the top whatever it's going to be is going anti-clockwise, and the bottom one is still, would be exactly the same as the top one being still and the low one going clockwise, the relativity between the two would be the same. And somehow Rabbi Acha ben Yaakov refuted Rebbe's claim, but as we said before, I don't really understand what much of what I'm talking about. I'm just translating the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Chachmei Yisrael oimrim, the Chachmei Yisrael claimed, Bayoim chamo ma'aleches lemato min harakia. The sun during the day goes underneath the sky. We see the sun. Ubalaylo, what happens at the end of the day, at night? The night goes through the rakia. What happens then? So the Chachmei Yisrael says it goes lemailo min harakia. It actually goes round and above the rakia. Until the next morning, it comes back into below the rakia on the east. The Chachomim of the Goyim, they say no. They say Bayoim Chamo Maleches Lemato Min Arakia, as the Chachmei Yisrael said, but they argue what happens at night. Ubalaylo Lemato Min Arkarka. Actually, when it comes to the night, the sun doesn't go up on top of the sky. It actually goes down below the horizon, as we call it. It goes below the earth and comes up on the other side the next morning. Omer Rebbe, V'nirin divrei midivreinu, Rebbe says it seems that the Chachmei Agoyim, what it looks like is like what they're saying, Shebayoyim, and the proof to that would be, is that Shebayoyim mayonu istzoinenim, in the day, the springs, the underground springs are cold, ubalayla roischin, and they warm up at night. At the end of the night, the springs are warmer than they are during the day. So it seems that the sun is actually going under the earth, and that's why those springs are being heated up. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we saw in the Braisa, Rabbi Nosson Oimer, B'moisa chamo, in the summer, chamo maleches begoiva shel rakia. Lefikach kolo ilam kuloi roseach, umayono istzoinenim. In the sun, and this is probably to do with the axes and the angle with which the rotation of the sun relative to the earth, that in the summer months, the sun is in the height of the rakia, and therefore the whole world is hot. Umayono istzoinenim, but the springs are cold. In the winter, the sun is lower down, is angled, and therefore is on a lower angle relative to the world. That's why the world is cold, but the underground springs, they are hot. I imagine what it means is that in the summer, because of the axes of the sun is above the earth for much less amount of time than the amount of time it's underneath the world. The days are much shorter than the nights, and therefore the days remain cold and the nights has more time for the underground springs to heat up. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Ba'arbal shvilin chamo ma'aleches. There are four seasons, four paths that the sun goes, and this is also probably to do with the angle that the sun orbits the earth, that in Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, in the spring months, Maleches Bahorim, the sun has its main influence on the mountains, Kdei Lefasheres Ashlogim, in order to melt the snow. Tammuz of Elul, in the summer months, Maleches Bayishuv, the sun in the summer months is over the civilization part of the world, Kdei Lefasheres Aperis, in order to ripen the vegetables, the fruits, whatever's growing. Tishri Marcheshvan V'Kislev, the autumn months, Maleches Bayamim, the sun is over the seas, Kedei Liabishes and Horis, in order to dry out some of the rivers, possibly to avoid flooding. Tevis Shvat V'Ador, in the winter months, Maleches B'Midbar, the sun is over the desert, Shelo Liabishes HaZroim, because that's the time that the seeds are germinating, and if the sun would be over them, they would dry out, in order that the sun should not be over any civilized areas, and therefore the sun is over the desert, causing no harm. Continues the Gemara. Rebeliezer Oimir Maskupas Vechulu. And here the Gemara is taking us back to the Mishnah. Let's hope we understand the next Gemara better than we understood the last one. The Mishnah is taking us back to the Gemara is taking us back to the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says, Ezui Derech Rechoika, what's considered that this person is, so to speak, far away on a journey, nowhere near or far from the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore he's not required to do the Pesach Rishon, he has to come and do the Pesach Sheni. And that is if at the time of Chatzos, he's Bederech Rechoika. So we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva says that it's got to be that he's far enough away that with a normal walking, he would not manage to get to the Beis HaMikdash before the end of the time that it takes to Shecht the Korban Pesach. That means he's 15 mil away which is even if he would walk all the whole time, he would walk from where he is to the Beis HaMikdash, he would not arrive before Shkia. That's called Derech Rechoika. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Meskupa So Azora VeLachutz. Even if he's just outside the threshold of the Azora, he's one step away from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Azora. Nonetheless, that's called Derech Rechoika. Says the Gemara. Va'afal gav de motzi ayil. Even though he could easily, he's got 6 hours to shecht the korban Pesach, he could easily just come into the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that called Derech Rechoika? Nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer says it's called Derech Rechoika. V'lo yomrin olei, we don't say kum ayil, that you have to come into the Beis HaMikdash and do korban Pesach, and if you don't, you're going to get chorus. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, did we not learn in a Braisa that oril shaloi mol, that a Yisrael who's an Oral, who needs to do Mila in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, because an Oral is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and Ish Koros, if he doesn't do the Bris Mila, even though he could, and because he didn't, he therefore did not bring the Korban Pesach, he's Chayev Koros for not bringing the Korban Pesach. Divi Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer himself said that we tell him, do what it takes to be able to eat the Korban Pesach, do the Bris Mila. So why should we tell a person more to do the Bris Mila than tell him, take one step into the Azara and do the Korban Pesach? There's going to be two answers. Abaya says, Omar Abaya, Derech Rechoika L'Tohir V'Ein Derech Rechoika L'Tomei. In the same way as we saw on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, that there's a concept, that the concept of Derech Rechoika only applies to a Tohir person where his whole issue is the distance. A Tomei person, where his issue, the reason a Tomei person cannot bring the Korban Pesach is not because of the distance, it's because he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. And therefore, since the issue is not the distance, and even more than that, a Tomei can actually send somebody else to bring the Korban Pesach for him, so where the distance where he is not relevant. But either way, the concept of distance is only an issue for a Torah person. So the same applies to here, says Abaya, regarding an Oral. The issue with an Oral is not where he is, it's his state. It's the fact that he hasn't done a Bris Mila. So we say, do the Bris Mila. However, if he's out, once he's Tohir and he's outside, he's completely Tohir, and the whole issue is, where is he? Where he is, that's called Derech Rechoika. Rabbi Eliezer says Derech Rechoika is even if you have not yet arrived, that means you're still outside the Azara, that point you're still called Derech Rechoika, and therefore you're potter from doing the Pesach Rishon. And there's an interesting phenomenon here, and that is that if this person is an Oral, and he's outside the Beis HaMikdosh, he'll be Chayev Koros if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach. If he does the Bris Mila, now he's Tohir. He's got the same status as any Tohir. Now he does Bris Mila and he's still outside. From this point on, he'll be Potter because of Derech Rechoika. And Tosfos asks that it's interesting that that should be the case, that all the while he's still an Oral, he'll get Koros for not doing Korban Pesach, and when he becomes Mohol, then he's not going to be Chayev Koros. Tosfos discusses that. But that was Abaya's explanation. Rava Omar. Rava says that the truth is there's a Machlekes Tanoim. Within Rebbe Eliezer, there's going to be three Tanoim, three different versions of what Rebbe Eliezer actually held. And then we'll say that this Rebbe Eliezer that says that that an Oral, Shaloi Mol, Enoish Koros, indeed he would hold regarding the distance called Derech Rechoika, not like it says in our Mishnah, not like the Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah, rather like a different version of Rebbe Eliezer. And that version of Rebbe Eliezer actually holds the same as Rebbe Akiva in the Mishnah, that the type of Derech Rechoika, which is actually Potter, is somebody who cannot come in time because he's too far away. He's more than 15 mil away from the Beis HaMikdash. And then it will be very similar. If he's anywhere closer to that, anywhere less than 15 mil from the Beis HaMikdash, indeed he will be Chayev to come. And then it's the same as the Oral that we say, you have to do the Mila in order to be able to do Korban Pesach. Where do we find the Machlekes Tanoim regarding Rebbe Eliezer? Rava Omar Tanoi is the Machlekes Tanoim as to what the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer is. The Tani we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Eliezer Oimir, Nema Richuk Mokim BePesach. It says regarding Korban Pesach that somebody who is a Derech Rechoika, he's far away, is part of Pesach Rishon. V'nei marichuk mokim b'maiser. Regarding redeeming Maiser Sheni, you're only allowed to redeem Maiser Sheni when you're outside Yerushalayim. That's called ki yirchak b'mcho ha-mokim. In Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to redeem Maiser Sheni. You have to eat the Maiser Sheni with the Kedusha of Maiser Sheni. But outside Yerushalayim, is also called Rechok Mokim. Ma lahalon chutz la'achilasi, in the same way as regarding the Maisa Sheni, before we see inside, there's Maisa Sheni and Korban Pesach, they have two different elements, two aspects. One is where they have to come, where they have to be brought in order to do the mitzvah that they have to be done with. And then there's a second aspect, and that is where can they be eaten. So as far as Maisa Sheni is concerned, both of those are the same. You have to bring it, it's mukhshar, it becomes kosher. That means Maisa Sheni has reached its destination when it's reached Yerushalayim. The place you eat the Maisa Sheni is in Yerushalayim, the two are the same. However, regarding Korban Pesach, it's a bit different. Because the hechsher, where does Korban Pesach have to arrive to? Not just Yerushalayim, it has to actually arrive into the Beis HaMikdash. Where can it be eaten? It can be eaten the whole of Yerushalayim. So this point, the Tanakhama of this Braisa learns that ne'emar richuk mokim bePesach ve'ne'emar richuk mokim b'Maaser. Ma la'alon chutz la'achilosi. In the same way as where can you redeem the money of the where can you redeem Maaser Sheni fruits when it's outside Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim being the place that you can eat the korban where you can eat the Maaser Sheni. Afkan so too chutz la'achilosi. So too, derech rechoyko, regarding Korban Pesach, is if you are outside the place that you would be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and that's in Yerushalayim. So the Tanakhama here holds that, according to Abeliezer, the derech rechoyko means if you're outside Yerushalayim, not outside the Azora, outside Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, chutz la'asiyasi. No, we compare the Pesach to Maaser Sheni, not regarding where it can be eaten, rather where it's done, so to speak. Maaser Sheni, so to speak, gets done in Yerushalayim. But the Korban Pesach gets done in the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda, he says, like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's called Derech Rechoyko. So in the same way as we find two Tanoim here, whether Rabbi Eliezer holds that Derech Rechoyko is outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside Yerushalayim, there's a third opinion, and that's the opinion of the Braisa we saw before, that Oral Shloimol Enosh Korus Divir Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds in the Braisa that somebody who didn't do Mila is going to get Korus because we're going to say to him, you should have done everything you can to eat Korban Pesach, so too, Derech Rechoyko is only providing that there's no way you could have come. So if he's just outside Yerushalayim, that wouldn't be exempt because he can come to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're more than 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says, that's called Derech Rechoyko, then he cannot come. And only then he's going to be potter from doing the Pesach Shein. That's how Rashi and Tosfos explain this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Kaman oz lehod om Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef. Who's the following going according to? Hat betmeim holach acharoiv ha'imdim ba'azora. It says that when you want to count, who do you have most? We've already learned earlier in the Masechta that if you have roiv tahirim, then the tahirim do Pesach Rishon and the tmeim do Pesach Sheni. If you have roiv tmeim, then they do the Pesach Rishon. Tumahut rabat tzibur. It says here that tmeim, the ratio of tmeim versus tahirim is talking about counting the tahirim who are in the azara now. That means anybody who's not in the azara when you count at chatzos at the beginning of the first shift, whoever's not in the azara now is not part of being counted, and therefore when you count the ratio of tmeim versus tahirim, they're not counted. Who would that be following? It must be following the Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Shomam Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. It must be following what we just saw now, that anybody who's outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is the same as the Rabbi Eliezer we saw in the Mishnah, that it's Me'askupa So Azara Olachutz, that they are called Derech Rechoyko. Anyone who's not in the Azara. Anyone who's not, who's Derech, and we say that there's ein derech rechoyka letomei, as we saw before. So the tomei people outside the Beis HaMikdash, they get counted. They're not considered derech rechoyka. Ein derech rechoyka letomei. The people in the Azara, they are not derech rechoyka, they're here. The Torah people outside the Azara, they're called derech rechoyka. They're exempt because of derech rechoyka. So they don't get counted not as tohirim, not as tameim. So when you want to measure and count the ratio of Tahirim versus Tameim, you count the Tahir people in the Azara versus all the Tomei people outside the Azara, and that's how you come to your conclusion. Continues the Gemara, Omar loy Rabbi Yosi lefikach v'chulu. The final statement in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi is actually bringing proof to Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah. The Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah says that anybody who's not in the Azara is considered derech rechoika. He says lefikach nokud al hay. That's why on the word rechoika, in the pasuk on the letter hay, there's a dot. Loimar to say loim mipnei sherochik vaday elo miskupas Azara ulechutz. The dot says that it's not actually in the way it's said. Rechoika means far. The dot says no. It's as if, like, so to speak, read it as if this word wasn't here. That you're baderech, you're on the journey. You haven't yet arrived, but you don't really have to be so far, because if you're just outside the Azara, one step, you're already considered derech rechoika. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer, derech, derech rechoika. The pasuk first says, ish ish ki yetomei derech rechoika, if somebody is far away. Shemeani, I may have thought, what's called derech rechoika? Mahalich shnayim shleishi yomim. Somebody is 2 or 3 days away from the Beis Hamikdash on erev Pesach. Okay, he's called a derech rechoika. He does the Pesach sheni. He's potter from Pesach rishon. Keshu oimer, but when it says over derech lehoya, that the pasuk continues and says that if he's far away and he's still and but that the pasuk actually says v'ishki. That means if you're far away, you're potter from Pesach Rishon. If you're not on the journey, then you're chayev with Korban Pesach. What does it mean? That means it doesn't say that if you're not far away, then you're chayev with Korban Pesach. It says if you're far away, you're potter from Korban Pesach. And if you're not on your journey anymore, then you're chayev. So from there we see Magid Shemiaskupa Zazoro Lochutz. As long as you haven't yet arrived, the second pasuk that says "Ubederech loyhoyo" teaches us that as long as you haven't actually arrived, which means you're no longer traveling, you're no longer on the way, only then you have to do the Pesach Rishon, and if you don't, you'll be chayev koros. However, if you're still on the way, however small, even if you're just one step away, you haven't yet arrived. You cannot say "Ubederech loyhoyo," I'm not on the journey anymore. You're one step away from your destination, you're still on the journey. You're still on the journey. If he doesn't do Korban Pesach, he will not be chayev koros. And Amir Tz Hashem, the next shir, we continue the next Mishnah.